I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. What a privilege it is to be able to share with you once again the Word of God. Today we're going to be looking in the book of Exodus, and of course we'll be looking at some other scriptures along the way. For the next few minutes, I'd like to share with you the subject, God, my rock. Now, God is frequently likened to a rock in the Old Testament. We might ask the question, why is God likened to a rock? A study of the use of the word rock in the Old Testament discloses three reasons why the Lord is likened to a rock. First of all, the rock was a place of provision. In Exodus chapter 17, verses 2 through 6, we see the rock was a place of provision by being smitten. It says there, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt, to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And we see the rock was a place of provision by being smitten. These people wanted water, and they were going against what God had promised them. He said, I'm going to take care of you. But they got excited, and they wanted to run ahead of God. And they said, why did you bring us out of the land of Egypt, Moses, just to die in this awful, terrible place that you have brought us to? And in essence, they were saying, God, why did you bring me here? Well, in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oftentimes, as people go through this life, they don't understand why things happen to them. And many people who are going to die, they will wake up one day in a devil's hell, blaming God for them being there, when all along we look at the Word of God and it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. People refuse to receive what God has done for them. Jesus came into this world. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. People murmur against God today just like they did in Exodus chapter 17 that we have just read. God says, believe on my Son and you'll have eternal life. Don't murmur against me. Just quit refusing what I've given you. Receive Jesus as your Savior. We read in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 8 about a man by the name of Abraham. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, he told his son. And it says there, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Did God provide that lamb? Well, in the Old Testament, we read in Genesis 22 how that God did provide a lamb. He provided something there, the goat caught in the thicket, a ram caught in the thicket. Abraham was getting ready to sacrifice his son because God had told him to. Now, God didn't let him do it. But this is an indication how that God provides. Abraham trusted God instead of chiding with God and saying, God, you promised that you would provide a lamb. Abraham trusted God, and God provided that lamb. And we read on how that in the scriptures, how that God provided the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, for our Savior, to be our Savior. Well, the rock was a place of provision by being smitten. Jesus Christ was smitten. He is the one who is our provision. The rock was a place of provision, secondly, to provide an abundance. In Psalm 78 and verse 16, it says, He brought streams also out of that rock, or out of the rock, and this is speaking of what we just read in Exodus, and caused waters to run down like rivers. Isaiah 55:7 says, Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God provides an abundant pardon for those who will trust Him, for those who take Him at His word. When I speak or when I teach the Word of God, I encourage every person to have the Word of God in front of them, to look at that Word, to compare Scripture with Scripture. And I also encourage people that when they are in a church and they're listening to a pastor or the man of God who is preaching or that person who is teaching, that they take that Word of God and they compare Scripture with Scripture and they make sure that that person who's speaking is speaking the Word of God, not their thoughts, but what God has to say. Thus saith the Lord in His Word. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God provides an abundance, just as He provided abundance of water in Exodus chapter 17. He provides an abundance of mercy upon us. He provides everything that we need as saved people, as people of the human race. Those people who will trust Him receive an abundance. Philippians 4:19, it says, But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now I want you to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. We find out who that rock really was in the wilderness there. It says there in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4, Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. All through the Word of God, we see Jesus Christ. How could anyone refuse to see, by following the Scriptures, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of those people who will trust Him and ask Him to come into their hearts? Well, the rock that we see in Exodus chapter 17 was the rock of provision. And we see Christ as the rock of provision. We also see the rock was a place of safety by being a cleft. In Exodus 33, verses 21 through 23, it says, And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Now Moses had requested that he see God face to face. But God said, You can't do that. But I'm going to make it possible for you to do something here. He said, Thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. You remember that old song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the waters and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin and double cure, safe from wrath, and make me pure. Colossians 3:3 says, For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. God has us in His hand. God the Father has Christ the Son in His hand. And guess who's in both their hands? We are, as saved people, God has provided a cleft in the rock for us to be hidden. We are hidden from the enemy. Psalm 31:2 says, as David wrote, Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to to me. God protects us. He protects us from our enemies. And the biggest enemy we have, I believe, is the flesh. The biggest enemy that we have is the flesh. And of course, we understand that God protects us from the devil. He protects us from those things. But I believe that our flesh gives us more trouble than anything else. But if we trust in God and turn to Him and say, Lord, cleanse me from sin. Keep my mind pure. Help me, Lord, to walk in the light that You have given. And that enemy, the flesh, is going to be defeated by the Lord. I'm not talking about spiritual, of sinless perfection. I'm talking about asking God for a cleansing daily as a Christian. Well, the third thing I want you to see is the rock was a place of stability. First, it was upon which the believer could stand securely. Psalm 40 in verse 2 says, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. We've been saved, folks, by trusting Jesus as our Savior. He brought us up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And once again, that favorite old song, My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Are you on the rock today? The Bible tells us also, upon which the believer could stand triumphantly is that rock. Psalm 27, 5 and 6 says, For in times of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Jesus Christ is the rock. Are you founded upon Him today? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Have you asked Him to come into your heart? If not, may I invite you to do so right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I want You to save me, so I can go to heaven one day. I want to thank You, Lord, today for saving my soul. Come into my heart. I bow my head. I bow my heart right now and say, Lord, I want You as my Savior. If you'll pray a prayer and ask Jesus to come into your heart and mean it, be willing to turn from your sin. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, will save you. John 3:16. If you are saved and you're not living for Him today, why not? Ask Jesus to forgive you right now. Lord, forgive me for not serving You. Claim 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's you, Christian. That's you, child of God. If you'll turn to Him today, He'll forgive you of your sin, not to be saved again, but because you are saved. He wants to use you. He will use a clean vessel, and the only way to be cleansed as a child of God is to confess known sin. Ask Him to forgive you today, and He will use you. It's been good being with you today. Let me remind you to look at our website, lrwm.org, lrwm.org. You can download a transcript of this program, and also you can write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until this next time, may the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.